Think that like Rod Stewart ever just goes, just keep on rodding, 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 what? Rodding, rodding, rodding. I don't know.
What, like always on the toilet or something like that?
Maybe he was just jacking it. You know,
like just, yeah,
rodding, rodding, rodding. I don't know, it's hard to do. He has a hard voice to do.
Well, I don't know, it's like whenever I think of like, keep rolling, 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 what? I can use that for like all kinds of stuff. You know, we're doing a podcast right now, so it's like, keep podding, 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 what?
I know, I just think, I heard you sing the pod version, I'm like, oh, Rod Stewart, what would he say? So, I don't know, that doesn't really come to my mind so much.
Dude, but here, Rod Stewart would have a fucking great podcast name. He could have it called The Rod Pod.
The Rod, there you go.
Rod Pod. Yeah, hey, this is Rod Stewart, I'm doing The Rod Pod, okay, everybody?
I actually did not...
Get your dicks out and say, hey! I don't know if you'd do that, but that'd be pretty cool.
Hashtag, Rod Pod dicks out.
Like, Rod Stewart's just getting all hip with everything.
I haven't seen enough in interviews to know how he actually talks. Maybe he just talks like, hello, I am Rod Stewart. But then he sings like...
I'm very sophisticated, Rod Stewart.
Yes, like, when he actually sings, though, it's just like... It's just like, may you've held me down for what, you know?
Yeah, it just gets all the Rod Stewart-y voice. Well, welcome to Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And it's just been one of those kind of days, man, you know.
It's a lot happened. Can I actually share something that happened to me a few days ago?
What happened a few days ago?
I was on my lunch break, and I went over, rode a bike over to Safeway, and I was just having, like, some sushi.
You didn't have, like, a Safeway meltdown? You just get in there and just start, like, fucking breaking down on the ground, going like, why? What is wrong? What is wrong?
Not yet. No, oh, okay. Not yet, but no, I just went to, it was in my lunch break, I just rode over to Safeway, and just, they had, like, sushi there, so I just... was sitting at, and I was out, like, on the side of the parking lot, just eating, kind of like near the entrance to the side, eating sushi, and I started to kind of slightly choke, that point where you can still kind of breathe, like, it's stuck in there, and then I'm, like, drinking something, but then at the same time, that's only making it worse. Usually it washes it away, but it's only making it worse, and I was starting to gargle, and I was starting to actual choke, like,
and now
oh my god,
you realize that there's nobody there to fucking save
you. Here's the thing, there were people around, and I start trying to like almost not make a big deal of it, like just kind of like hitting my own chest and realize it's not working, just almost marking it, just
pounded the chest.
Yeah, exactly, as hard as I could, and it's not working. And then like I just start like I reach into my throat to try and pull it out, and I manage to get a little bit of vomit out, but not actually. It's still in there, and I'm still trying to get like like that.
So everybody then, around you just probably thinks like, "Oh my god, look at this
crazy
fucking hobo!"
Exactly. And then I start doing this thing where I just like, "Fuck!" I'm looking around, like I yell out like, I mean I can't really yell, but I'm like, "I'm choking! I'm choking!" And people are literally walking by me, just give me this look like, "Okay," just keeps walking by. I am choking. Like that. And I just like, what the fuck? And I just
somebody
like,
throws you a $5 bill. Like, yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
And I'm just kind of like almost, I'm literally starting to panic by this point. And then there's a wall there. And I start literally hitting my chest against the wall. So people just see from a distance, just me, just some guy with a beard and like a baseball cap, just like holding his own neck, stomping around in place, trying to make himself vomit, then slamming his chest against the wall of the Safeway. And then I just managed to kind of, like, just stick my fingers in there enough and just kind of, like, not really pull it out.
Push it down.
Force it down. And then I start, like, coughing. A little bit of vomit came out. And it was one of those things for a minute, like, I'm over it now. But for, like, about 2 hours, I was almost kind of like, did I almost fucking die?
And you're in San Francisco,
choking?
And the perfect thing is nobody would have did a goddamn thing. Because that's the San Francisco, like, lifestyle. It's just, fuck that guy over there. Not my problem.
Definitely. I was almost just kind of, like, very jaded. Like, I can't fucking believe that. You know, but at the same time, I kind of took it into context. Maybe they just thought I was a homeless guy. I don't know. That's probably not saying that's cool. I mean, if I saw a homeless dude choking, I mean, here's one of two things. If I knew he was choking, I would probably try to do something. But the thing is, as jaded and shitty as this sounds, the other day I saw a guy just like full on screaming and crying, like bawling, ah! kind of stood up, like, I thought that he's all talking, like, and starts rapping and talking straight face and just start walking down the, like, what the fuck?
So you have no idea what to expect from homeless.
So from a distance, I mean, maybe it kind of looked like that, but I was still very much like, what the fuck is wrong with society for a second? But at the same time, like, maybe I just gotta, you know, maybe you couldn't even hear
it. No, it's San Francisco. San Francisco definitely just has that, like, that nobody's gonna stop and do anything for you. The thing would happen is you'd finally fall on the ground and die, and somebody would come by and be like, are you fucking kidding me? They just got dead bodies on the street in San Francisco. I knew we should have fucking went to San Jose.
Well, I guess it tripped me out. It's like thinking, like, I almost died from choking on something. And the thing is, I know if I got the call, like, if someone called, like, my folks, like, Mr. Dunnigan, like, yes, your son died. Oh, my God, what?
Was it the M&Ms?
It was like, he died of choking. Oh, fuck, it wasn't a dick, was it? No. Oh, thank God, okay.
What's in the mouth? What's in the mouth? It's sushi. Well, it's and a Butterfinger.
Well, it's still kind of gay, but...
It's still kind of gay. I don't know, why did he not chew the Butterfinger? Why is it the whole thing?
It's funny to make those jokes, just to clarify, my dad's not homophobic, but it's just funny to make those jokes.
Why is it the whole Butterfinger? Why didn't he chew it?
I always told him to chew. Came around to get him.
And it's king size, too, for fuck's sake. Just the whole fucking thing.
They're like the EMT's like, oh, this guy must have been practicing.
He likes something some chocolate dicks.
Long and something long and brown down his throat.
It's either that or he's into a worse fetish.
Who knows?
He might have been practicing for someone to shit in his mouth.
Sad thing is, like, well, no, it's that weird thing. If you actually, like, take a drink of a rock star and
some sushi
and a Butterfinger and swish it around, it actually simulates the taste of shit. Funny thing. You know, it's kind of like if you have,
it's kind of
like,
acidic-y. It's like almost someone threw up in your mouth, too.
It's like, this is going to sound really weird. I actually don't know if it is that. I'm just assuming. But no, but it's one of those things, like, I actually one time had a drink of a like, one of those bottled Starbucks Frappuccinos.
Mm-hmm.
A drink of one of those, and then bit into some beef jerky. It tasted like gas station nachos.
It was like the combo of the food. It's always weird when you find those weird things where it's like these two foods together that do not simulate that whatsoever, but combined, mm-hmm. they become this new entity all in itself.
Yeah, science.
Science, fucking awesome.
So, but yeah, so that's kind of, that was a few days before I...
Well, that's definitely the are you in, are you out section of the podcast.
First talking Rod Podden, then choking, then shit fetish, whatever.
Whatever, fuck you. Yeah. Well, boy, we went and saw this Moana yesterday, and all I could kind of think of is this is the sort of thing, it's like, you look at the lifestyle of Hawaii, like, 500 plus years ago, and you go, God, is that just like the fucking life right there? When you really think about it, at the end of the day, you have a place that you literally have absolutely no fucking worries whatsoever.
Aside until a white man comes in and fucks it all up.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. But, you know, for the most part, though, you think about it, you know, there's always that kind of thing where you always go, why are there these, like, native islands where, like, they stayed, like, the exact same people for thousands upon thousands of years when you got, you know, Europeans and Asians and stuff that have, like, advanced, like, dramatically over time? Well, here's the thing. When you're living on a fucking island like Hawaii, it's like you're on vacation 24/7. You know what I mean? When you're a guy in fucking Norway, and it's freezing, and you're not too sure if you're going to be able to eat next fucking month, that's when you start to invent. You know what I mean? When life does not just give you coconuts without having to do a goddamn thing.
I guess I'm trying to think about Hawaii. Like, what's the most deadliest thing on Hawaii? Like, a wild boar?
The thing is, I don't think Hawaii really has anything that's like, oh, there's this fucking insect that will get you and it will poison you for 10 days of bloody hell, and then you'll die, and then you'll infect your entire family.
Well, I'm trying to think on that, like, as far as, like, Hawaii's history, like, nearly every animal there was brought there by man, wasn't it? Maybe not insects or birds, but, like, pigs and all that was brought there by men, wasn't it?
I think so, because the whole, like, Hawaiian thing is that a bunch of Asians went, they were like, I'm fucking bored. Yeah, you're fucking bored too? Let's get on this boat. And, you know, and then they fucking just start sailing off, and then all of a sudden they ran to an island, like, fuck it, I don't want to ever go sailing again. Neither do I.
Well, once you get there, like, dude, this shit is awesome.
Yeah, fuck the Philippines. Fuck Guam. That's what everybody was saying.
Well, even like that, I was just kind of waiting for the end of that movie for, like, just to, like, everything is perfect here. Like,
and then Captain Cook comes sailing across.
There's some white dudes on a boat over there. Let's go say hi. Credits.
Yeah, just like, hey, hello, my name's Captain Hook. Or not Captain Hook. Captain Cook. Captain. Credits. Just that's
everyone
it.
Lived happily ever after. Just because, like, oh, wow, a Hilton would look awesome right here. Oh, shit, this would be amazing golf course.
That's pretty much what Captain... You think about it, because, like, the book of Captain Cook is they had, like, the most, like, shittiest fucking voyage, like, before they got to Hawaii. Like, they were, like, trapped down, like, at the bottom of South America in freezing-ass cold temperatures, icy all around, people fucking dying and everything like that. So they end this trip where it's just like, fuck the Arctic. Fuck it. Just to the point where it's like that. And then you land on Hawaii, and it's just like, oh, my God. Look at this place. It's like vacation 24/7. It is so much better than England. So much better. You know, I look at these people are nice. They're bringing me fucking boar. There's like women running around. People are throwing spears and everything like that. Like, this is fucking awesome. Like, hey guys, does it ever snow? What snow? Oh, fuck, that's amazing. Fuck, that's amazing.
I just imagine this cook just pulling out his dick like no snow.
He's like, oh my God, what is that? What is that? It looks like a giant dick with balls. That's a coconut tree. Oh my God. What is that? What is that? Oh, that's a boar running around. Oh my God, look at him.
Let's kill him. Let's fucking eat that thing.
But first we're going to ride him and race him. And bet on it.
So it's the thing about Captain Cook is it was also one of those things where he got there and it was like, dude, these guys think we're fucking gods. Like, no, we don't think you're gods. We just... We're done with you partying, but you already married all our women. You're already fucking eating all our food. Cut us some break, man. Hey, listen, motherfucker! And then they just like just
murdered the fuck. Yeah, King Kamehameha came down and he's like, call me, and blasted them away.
Captain Cook tried to use solar flare, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, just
too quick.
Just didn't pan out so well, and he was dead because he was too relaxed at that moment.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's one of those things like.
But that's the thing, though, is you think about it, like, that's the reason why all, like, those native areas, like, in a sense, their culture's never really advanced. It was just like, what's the point? You know what I mean? You hit the pinnacle of life.
Well, the whole movie, actually, going back to that movie, we're probably going to talk about more details, so spoilers ahead, but, like, the whole aspect of that is, the movie is almost like, the dad is almost like, why advance? We got everything we like. Don't go past that fucking reef. Don't go past the reef. And then, like, the whole movie comes about, like, let's find some more islands, where it just seems like, I'm kind of like, why? I mean, I like the movie, and I get what they're trying to do, like, we're prideful, we're voyagers, we explore more, but I'm just like, yeah, it's a pretty sweet fucking island, though.
You voyaged once, and you stopped.
Yeah, yeah, but it was kind of like, because, you know, like Rock brought the lava monster, and all that kind of shit, so, whatever. But still, it's one. I get why they stopped for that aspect. I think it's, they probably stay. Well, actually, the big reason they had to leave in the first place.
Because they got to put some, like, Western, like, idealistic views in there, because here's the thing, is, you know, a Western person feels like there's always more, there's always fucking more. England's weather fucking sucks dicks, so we got to invent shit to make ourselves seem cool.
Yeah. Like, check out this iPad. That's fucking cool, right? You know?
Check out the 1700s iPad.
Yeah. It's just an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah, just like...
with wooden knobs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is how you use it. You go like this. You go, oh, Alfred, get over here! Okay, I'm thinking of this, this, and that. Now go find out what it is and bring me back the answers.
That's Batman's iPad. Just right. Alfred.
There's a butler.
He doesn't even need Google. He just has Alfred.
But
no, whole thing with that movie was, because they do in the thing, like, the reason why they leave in the first place makes sense, because they gotta go, like, the island's being infected by some evil spirit type shit, so one of them has to go out and find it. But the reason, like, okay, that's, oh, we're all leaving? Oh, fuck, okay, whatever.
Like, oh, I thought you fixed it, Moana. Fuck, we gotta get the boats out and leave again.
I guess first we probably talk about what the movie's mainly about. So basically, it's kind of like, I'll say this, I'll get this out of the way, it is kind of like your standard Disney formula, but what Disney has going on, I mean...
with a Hawaiian theme, that's pretty much what it is.
Well, with the Hawaiian theme, but I'll say this, depends if, first off, you have to be into this or not. If you're into character design and the aesthetic, like, I really like a lot of Disney's character designs. So, as far as this movie goes, that was really awesome. And, like, recently, the writing has a lot of, like, is very kind of witty. It's actually pretty funny, witty dialogue. And not in the aspect of, you know, there still is, okay, there's the stupid animal joke, or there's, like, some slapsticky stuff. But this does actually have some very witty dialogue between the main character and Maui, played by The Rock. Mm-hmm. And I think I think that's something Disney has going for it recently. I mean, the only movie I saw that really, it sucks because, I mean, we won't go into it because we've gone into it so many times, but the only movie that, like, really, that Disney really disappointed me with in recent years, and only because it seems like the one I should love, is Wreck-It Ralph.
I know. What I consider, like, the worst movie experience, probably of all time. I don't think I've ever had a worse movie theater experience than that.
I think because it just starts off so good. You know?
I used to think Phone Booth was a pretty bad one, and then I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph, you think I would love it, but, you know, I just can't bring myself to like it. But, and I tried watching it another time, and I still couldn't like it. But I love the first 20 minutes.
I think that's what makes it worse, because the first 20 minutes actually is legitimately really good, and then mm-hmm. it just fucks you in the face for the next hour, and that's it.
I was also in denial with that movie. Like, I would see stuff for Wreck-It Ralph after the movie. Like, oh, yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, wait, I saw it. You know? It would be like, I'm going to leave. Oh,
like, you literally, like, forced that memory out. Like, it was just painful prison memory you had.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah. Just that mouse just being, ha-ha, you're going to like it! Come here, eight fucking bucks, too! You fucking nerd!
Like, you're just like, oh, okay, good, I got the whole shower to myself, and then all of a sudden you just see, like, this head pop out with fucking Mickey Mouse ears, and he just comes out, just he has this towel around him, and he just, like, whips it off, like, oh, looks like we're showering together, we're gonna be shower buddies, right? Slaps you on the ass. Now pass the soap there. Oh, okay. Oops, looks like I dropped it. You think you can pick that up for me, little man? Oh, yeah, okay, Mickey, I will. It's like, just starts grabbing you, like,
oh, no!
And then when he's done, he's like, oh, okay, I'm out of here. That was $20.
$20, like, yeah, for the popcorn and the soda, you fucking cheap fuck.
Yeah.
What, you think a rape's free for Mickey? That was for you. Yeah, you're fucking, you should be grateful. I should charge you twice that price.
But like,
Moana.
Moana.
I felt like I got my, like, money's worth out of it.
Well, like, Frozen was one that was like, I was kind of like, I got kind of dragged by some friends to go see Frozen. It's like, you'll probably be decent. And I'm watching, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's a musical. But as time went on, like, the musical aspect doesn't kill it for me, but it kind of takes me out of it. Like, I can kind of do without, at this point in my life, I can kind of do without almost
anything without, singing.
Without singing, and like, I don't know, maybe, you know what, if somebody kind of gave me an option to do a Disney movie and they said, you can do, but it has to have singing, I'd probably do some weird edgy thing that would probably be, like, considered to be outdated, like, in, like, probably, like, 10 years. I'd probably go, like, okay, I want Deer Tick to do this song. Can we get Bruce Springsteen?
Could Chris Cornell be the main character?
Because Chris Cornell, yeah, it would just be, I don't know, I don't even know what it would be. I'm just saying, like, I'd probably just go out of my way and just, like, can we just get, like, these rock stars? No, not the voice actor. Don't give a fuck. Unless the voice actor is voiced by Bruce Springsteen or John McCullen or Chris Cornell or, like, you know.
Yeah, Chris Cornell could be the Fox.
Andrew Stockdale, someone, you know. So it's one of those things, like, I think the last Disney movie, because, like, all the ones I've seen recently, like, Big Hero 6 was good, Frozen was good. I'm not in love with, like, everybody else, but I liked Frozen. The last one that really wowed me, like, way more than I thought it would, was fucking Zootopia.
Yeah, that movie was the one where it's, like, surprisingly really good. Like, here's the thing. Pretty much every Disney movie's always been good. It's like, you know what I mean? Other than Wreck-It Ralph, you know. For the most part, like, they always make a good movie. Like, they know what they're doing when it comes to movie making. I think what always bothers me about Disney, it's more like the business practices. It's like, when you kind of see behind the curtain, you realize that, like, how evil of a company it is. And that kind of bothers me as far as movies go. But if you kind of forget that part and look at the movies, they always do make good stuff. But sometimes they don't make, like, legendary, like, stories where you're like, oh, fuck. Fuck! Like, you know, you don't walk out of it like one of those kind of movies. But Zootopia was one of those ones where I was like, oh man, I was actually legitimately way more, like, surprised at how good that fucking story was.
Because it was a movie about racism, and it didn't feel preachy.
No, yeah, just, yeah, it had all kinds of different things in it, and all these elements. Yeah, not feeling preachy at all, but doing a really good job of telling it, and then having really interesting characters, too, to top it off.
And the thing about that is, I think what was cool is, that was one that did not feel like your average Disney movie, because it was like, it wasn't like, because essentially Moana, it's a princess movie. It's essentially a princess movie, and those can still be good, but it's like Zootopia, it was just like, you say, oh, detective story.
You know what, Moana actually was? It's not a princess story, it's actually a queen story.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Which is, that's what makes it kind of different.
That's cool, yeah, it's like a princess becoming a queen, which is pretty cool. And Zootopia was one of those things where it was like, it starts off like, when you say well, it's about, like, a cop rabbit that has to work with a sly fox. It just sounds like a stupid fucking kids movie.
Yeah, that's literally what I thought when I saw the trailer. I was like, well, whatever, it'll probably be okay, but not selling me yet.
And then it just becomes this whole allegory on, like, racism and kind of how it gets there in the first place, which can, which you say that, it doesn't sound good, but you see the movie, they actually do it very adequately.
And it was PG, too. I think that was the other thing that kind of, like, it added a little bit more elements into it that, because I remember, like, I didn't realize the movie was PG, and all of a sudden there was a couple, like, lines said, and I was like, this isn't G, is it? This got to be PG. This is a little bit too adult to be.
And then, like, there's also, the other thing about it was, there was a, just solely as a detective story, just remove, like, just as if you just, like, switched it out with just, like, humans, it almost, that would work pretty well, too, because it was just a really well-written detective story with all the great, with a lot of great beats, mm-hmm. you know?
No, yeah, that definitely was. And this, I guess, being the next one, Moana coming out, like, overall, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, it is kind of your standard Disney, you know, good versus evil story, you know, saving the homeland, princessy, queen, whatever. You know, with the Hawaiian twist, that's kind of what makes it different, which, obviously, I guess Hawaii is the popular thing now, because you got Pokemon being all Hawaii-themed, you got this thing coming out.
I didn't think about that.
Hawaii's the comeback thing now, it's the end thing, it's Hawaii.
Yeah.
Next, you know, Hawaiian shirts will be everywhere again, be well, just like the 90s.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like, I remember I said, like, everything Tony Month, everything Al Pacino did for the Hawaiian shirt and Scarface was destroyed by Benicio Del Toro in leaving Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Now it's going to be brought back by Professor Oak.
Yeah, Professor Oak. I haven't played Sun and Moon yet, but I have to give it a shot at some point. But no, like, it's, I mean, you know, it's pretty, I don't know what to say about it other than it's a pretty fun movie, and The Rock, you know, Rock crushed it as, like, kind of like the asshole of the movie, the... Mm-hmm.
Like, look at me, I'm so cool. I did everything for everybody.
And I'll say, when the movie started, because we were watching the movie, and, like, a musical number starts, and I immediately was like, fuck.
Well, so something's like, nowadays, I don't know what it is, like, you should know that it's going to become a musical thing, but it's kind of like, I was still at that point where it's like, they weren't making musicals that often anymore.
It happened once in a while, like, Big Hero 6 was a musical, Zootopia wasn't a musical.
Yeah, so, like, you don't really know what you're in for anymore. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I guess it is a musical, which I probably should have thought from the beginning, but it didn't cross my mind right away.
Well, they don't really show a lot of the musical scenes in the trailer anymore.
Well, I will say this, too. The thing about musicals, this is always kind of a weird thing. In 2D, they come across, like, I feel like in 2D animation, it works totally fine. You don't even really, like, second guess it too much. It fits in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. CG's kind of in this weird place of almost, like, live action. Like, it does have this weird, like, uncanny feel. Because that's sort of, like, a musical, like, when you watch a movie, whether or not you like it or not, like, it just feels like, it's just not realistic whatsoever. It is as fantasy as fucking possible in, like, a 2D, or in a, you know, live action movie, but you watch it in a 2D animation, and for some reason it fits. I don't know what it is. Like, it fits more, like, you watch Aladdin, makes sense. Like, you can believe Aladdin singing, and it just works with the story. But if you see it in live action, then it looks sometimes kind of goofy, like Peter Pan or Peter Pan, like that one.
Truth be told, I almost think it's more than anything by this point. I don't think it's, like, the CG singing. I think it's more of a, just an age thing. I think we're able to accept it when we're younger, because they're kids' movies, and we grew up, we saw them when we were kids, and we grew up on them when we were kids. And by the time Toy Story came out, they're starting to phase out all the musical aspects of it. And since Toy Story, there's been, like, some traditional 2D animated movies, but it's slowly, or actually really fast, quickly,
yeah,
going
it converted real fast. Quickly. It was like Toy Story came out, and 5 years later, it was, like, not cool to make 2D anymore.
Yeah, and even Toy Story was one of those things, like, they were like, it shows a lot how much one movie can make change in the industry, because they're like, a 3D animated movie, what? And then that was became the new standard just after that one movie.
Well, because I kind of think about that now. You watch a movie, like Moana or something like that, and I remember I asked you this. I'm like, do you think Disney and its audience just kind of look at 2D like it's equivalent of doing like a stop-motion special effect in a sci-fi movie today? Like, it's just old technology? Because I don't really look at 2D like it's old technology. I still consider it just as cutting-edge as anything else. But I have a feeling that people, like, I think the general public and Disney themselves kind of go, no, 2D is doing special effects the old-fashioned way. We're not, you know what I mean? If we're going to do special effects in a movie, we're going to do CG. We're not going to do fucking models.
You know
why would we do a 2D movie?
I honestly feel like I can't really have anything to back this up, but it's just more speculation. And plus, I've played around with Daz 3D in the past, just checking it out, just because at one point I was considering, maybe we can do some, like, some 3D animation, just the packages you get to buy each character or each setup is, like, gets really expensive after a while. So I'm like, nah, so I just got this free software on there now. But anyway, getting off topic. I played around with Daz, and I almost feel like maybe it's a possibility. Not saying it doesn't take a lot of work. I almost feel like 3D animation, to some extent, is kind of easier.
It definitely is. It's not somewhat easier. It is easier.
And it's one of those things I feel like it's I mean, it's probably hard for the guy who has to construct and make the character, but when you're one, when you got a whole team of people that is rigging and moving the characters around and doing all that, it's very, I could see, like, and plus there's a lot more time to fine polish everything, where if you do a traditional 2D animation, I'm sure that they use computers and they use, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's all.
They have whatever they were, the last major 2D animated movie they did, like Frog Princess or Treasure Island, Treasure Planet, whatever. They, even though those different, they had, you know, they had probably whatever was cutting edge for 2D at that time.
Mm.
But I feel like there's probably a lot more things you could fix and make it less cheap, maybe more cheap. In, like, 3D animation.
Well, because here's the thing. You go back, you take, like, okay, we got the Rock's character. Well, I want him to wink and move his arm on this side. Now, if that was a 2D movie, it'd be like...
Done.
Oh, no, no.
What no, I mean, like, done. Like, that's done. We can't go back.
Yeah, it'd be exactly. It's like, well, yeah, we could go back, but it's going to cost us, like, another $5,000 or $10,000 to do this. You know, where in a 3D one, a guy just goes, okay, okay, good to go. Like, to me, really, I'm not saying 3D is not hard work. It's still hard work. But it's not nearly as labor-intensive as, like, a 2D one is. So, mm-hmm. And the thing, too, is, like, the hardest part, I feel, of always 3D is, you know, rigging your character and getting set up. But once they're all set up, you pretty much are good to go from that point on. You never have to redraw that character over and over and over and over again. Yeah. You already have them set up. So that's kind of the nice part there. And I'm pretty sure that's also the main reason, too, is that more and more they get advanced with it, it's just easier to control, easier to maintain. Because now I feel almost 2D sort of saved. More than anything, it's made for, like, artsy projects. Because, really, in the last couple of years, what was the last 2D movie to come out in theaters?
I can think of some foreign films.
Not straight to DVD.
Not straight to DVD. I'm talking, like, foreign, like, independent released movies. Like,
yeah, exactly. No, I mean, like, full-on...
Like, major American...
Yeah, major motion picture.
Major American motion pictures.
Yeah, no artsy things. No, you know, anime still, there's still that stuff, but I don't...
Anime's been getting more, like, you know, because we got, like, two DC Direct Batman movies that went to theaters, so that's something. But it's still...
But they're very limited.
They're limited release, but they still actually made back some money, which was surprising for them. Mm-hmm. But still, that's still not really a lot.
I'm not saying 2D is dead. I'm just saying as far as selling it to the masses, it seems like it's like an old-fashioned thing.
I think it's more than anything just, like, I think essentially it's cheaper and it's easier to probably control.
Exactly. I know that's the reason behind it. And I think that's also why you just don't see it anymore. And I just kind of wonder if the audience themselves just... Because they're not going to think of, like, oh, it's cheaper and easier to control. They're probably more, like, blown away with it than they actually are 2D nowadays.
I feel like there's a time where people... I don't think people are really blown away by 3D anymore. Maybe if you're a kid. But, I mean, there's a time where people are like, oh my God, look at it! You know, that's what people were saying when they first saw Toy Story.
Well, that's what we were saying when we first saw Toy Story.
Yeah, yeah, like,
well,
exactly.
What the fuck? I just saw Lion King last year, and now I see that. But in the long run, you go, well, fucking Lion King looks way better than Toy Story.
It well, now Toy Story almost looks like PlayStation 1 cutscenes. The original Toy Story. Not that bad.
No, that movie actually, I think, is the way they design the characters. They hold up well.
It's when they show the humans.
Yeah, when they show the humans, that's the only part that's like, oh, there's 96.
There's that uncanny valley thing that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I still have trouble thinking, oh my God, that movie was 96. Like, but,
God, it might have been even older than that because...
95, 96.
Yeah, it had to be 95 because there was a Super Nintendo and Genesis game. If it was 96, it would have been, like, an N64 or PlayStation game.
Yeah. Well, as far as that goes, I could still see just... I think that they... I'm not going to say 2D is totally dead as far as theatrically. Maybe it just takes one movie to come out. Because a lot of the recent Disney stuff I've seen... I could actually see a lot of those because they're almost in, like, traditional Disney style. The way a lot of them look is almost traditional Disney style characters. But I can actually almost imagine those being 2D and probably still selling well. It's just they just know it's cheaper, so they're just going to keep on doing that. Because once Disney... The thing about Disney is right now, they're doing a good job and they're being pretty, like, progressive and kind of different. But what happens is Disney will find... I'm sure there's some Disney historian that could probably... punch me in the fucking face about telling you how I'm wrong, but
just this very violent Disney historian.
What'd you fucking say?
Gets up, he's just like fucking body slams you through a bed or something like
just
that.
Just some roided out dude with a fucking like
I'm on fucking Disney
with a fucking Mickey Mouse hat on, you know?
like yo, we're going to Disneyland, son. I really want to go to Universal Studios. Fucking grabs like, don't you fucking ever say that again. We'll never go to fucking Universal Studios. I fucking hate Jaws and I fucking hate you. I don't have to like you, boy.
He just like rips off his shirt.
Yeah, put this Goofy hat on and just like slaps
you're
his
my
head.
Fucking Jughead bitch. You know? Goofy is kind of the Jughead of him.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, but he just like, he just rips
I catch you with some fucking Harry Potter one in your hand again.
No Warner Brothers in this place!
He just, like, rips his shirt off. He has, like, a tattoo of the Beast on his chest.
Give it thumbs up.
But, I think that it's, shit, what was I saying?
No, he would have a tattoo of fucking Gaston giving two
thumbs. Gaston! I just mentioned Big Harry.
Underneath it just says, no one fucks like Gaston.
Right over his gut.
Dude, yeah, right over his gut.
Or it's like a tattoo of he has Gaston's like face on his stomach. It works down his lower body, so it looks like his lower body's all Gaston.
Yeah, like it's just like he looks like it's this Gaston's cock fucking hanging out. And then like as it goes down his legs, it's fucking Gaston's legs. It's so fucking weird looking.
Yeah, that guy is devoted.
No, yeah. So
there's something I was gonna say regarding
about the Disney history.
Not about regarding. Oh yeah, yeah. So Disney, they seem to kind of have this point where they'll get like really like. This shit is fucking working. Just cook on cranking this shit out. People fucking love it. And then at some point, they seem to kind of run into the ground. I know that's anybody. That's not just Disney. At the moment, I notice they are doing a lot of more, like, I don't want to say politically correct, but, like, I guess kind of progressive stories, because a lot of them, it's like, they're actually trying to get, like, less white characters in there and be more multicultural, and then on top of that, having a lot of strong female characters rather than being saved all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, the writing happens to be really good in a lot of the movies. So, that's not every movie, that's just a lot of their movies, but, recently at least. But, and then plus, you know, they're doing a good job with Marvel, and they're doing a good job with Star Wars so far. So, I think that eventually...
Even if the Star Wars ones depends who you ask, it seems like this day and age. Ask.
Well, a lot of people... I mean, here's the thing about Star Wars. A lot of people will say, like... What I think about Star Wars, if you want to get to that real quick, open that can of worms. I think that it was pretty good. I really liked it, and I actually liked it more than the prequels. But I know that... I'm not one of those people who totally hates the fucking prequels.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was better than the prequels. And I thought the movie did do... My complaints about it are the weirdest things. My complaint is, I have no problem with a girl stumbling upon a droid and then taking down another Death Star. I understand it kind of goes with the same beats. I understand they went and made the safe move. The only thing I really kind of, that is kind of like a little bit like, oh, I could have done something a little different. Did it have to be another desert planet? It could be anything other than a desert planet.
Thousands of planets we could start off on.
And it's not even Tatooine. I was like, okay, Tatooine. Oh, the other Tatooine.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, it'd just be any planets other than a desert planet. But beyond that, though, that's not going to kill it for me. I guess you want to make it seem dreary and kind of shitty. But it was still, you know, I still found it to be really, it was cool to see, you know, I don't want to sound like a, you know, Tumblr blog. I like it because how diverse it is. But it was a cool thing to add to it. Not strictly for that reason, but I thought that was cool. And there, other people kind of roll their eyes, but I actually literally got chills. The part when Kylo Ren knocks out Rey, he doesn't kill, but knocks down Finn, and he's reaching for the saber, and then it goes past him right into Rey's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time in that whole movie, you hear the... Dun, nah, 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 nah. First time in that whole fucking movie, they save it for that moment.
Yeah.
And it works. So people can say what they want about that. Anyway, I'm done. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That one's like beating the dead horse, but it's like, I mean, I understand both points. It's that thing that people that generally seem to like 4, 5, and 6 like the most, they seem to like the movie quite a bit. People who liked 1, 2, and 3 a lot seem to dislike the movie. I noticed. That's mostly what I, there. And I'm one of those people that's like, I liked 7. I thought it was really good. I don't think it's as good as the other 6, but I still liked it a lot, you know?
I think that, I don't know, I just hope they don't, like, have one good one, they beat it down to the ground, because...
And just kind of run... Hopefully, my only thing, is this my only complaint to 7? I just, as a fan of 1, 2, and 3 a lot, I kind of didn't like how they just did, like, the, let's not mention these guys right now.
Well,
okay,
just...
yes, it happened, but it doesn't mean we have to talk about it.
I feel like they're going to go a couple movies in, and they might mention or go to Naboo or something like that.
And I know what, they're playing towards the other fans, you know what I mean? You got two types of fans. You got the fans, like myself, that like practically anything Star Wars, and then you got the fans that are like, 4, 5, and 6! 4, 5, and 6! And you're like, shut the fuck up, you little bitch! And you just want to slap the fuck out of them, because they're just so obnoxious.
I mean, my thing about it is, I'm fine with, I feel like they might come back to it, and popular opinion... I mean, not saying I entirely agree with all of it, but popular opinion is that 1, 2, and 3 are the weakest ones. That's popular opinion, so
yeah.
I understand
why they're giving it.
They're giving it breathing
room. George Lucas's movie, so if he wants to make whatever the fuck he wants to make, it's not your movie. I think it's the problem that I have is like, I don't. If somebody says like that's like they don't like him as much, that's cool. But when they go to the point where they just, like, flat out, like, Hayden's like, it ruined my fucking childhood.
That's your bitch when you say that.
Yeah, you're just a fucking pussy who can't handle stuff.
I think Star Wars made, it was one of the, not Star Wars, South Park made a funny joke about it, but then maybe I'm wrong here, but, like, I feel like South Park just made a funny, quick joke about it, but then people took that, like, literally. People took that as if, like, South Park said it best! And it's just like, whoa. I think it was just more
Which
of a
joke. Which one, like, the Jar Jar Binks episode?
Where they're literally, like, we're fucking, like, swear you, they bust in on the, when Indiana Jones is getting raped.
Oh,
and they bust in, and, like, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, is, like, fucking a stormtrooper, Spielberg's in the corner jerking off.
Well, that's just funny imagery to me.
So I think that was more than anything, just like a funny little like, ha ha ha, you know, and then they just moved on where everybody else literally, because ever since that, people, I feel like they've been taking it from that. Maybe they said it beforehand, but
yeah. But no, that's beyond the point, and that's just another thing in itself. But Moana, though, was pretty much a pretty darn good movie as far as...
Rape jokes and Disney movies.
Exactly. Bound to happen at some point. You know, actually, it was kind of weird. Actually, I sat down yesterday after watching Moana, and I had sitting there for a while, was that Appleseed, like the CG one.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I put it on, like, back in the day
Which
when
one?
It came
There's
out.
There's like two of them.
The first one.
Okay.
And I remember when I thought it was a regular anime, like the old 80s one, and I remember putting it on, and this was a point when I was like, fuck CG, fuck it up, it's stupid ass. And then I put it on, and I was like, this isn't an anime? Like, what the fuck is this? 2D? Like, what's this 3D bullshit? And I'd, like, turn it off in the first, like, 10 minutes. But nowadays, it's like, okay, I can go back and accept something like that nowadays. If you're in the mood for it and everything like that, that's fine. And I was sitting down and watching it, but it is funny, like, how, if that was just a straight-up anime, it would not have aged. But since it's, like, that weird, like, 2000...
Cell-shade
3D CG stuff, it just looks like you're literally watching a good PlayStation 2 cutscene. Maybe a little bit better than that. I'd say it's more like a PS3 cutscene. That's probably about, at the end of the day, what it really is, but it's still a good movie. But it is, like, you look at that, and it just feels like, holy fuck.
I prefer the 80s manga one.
The 80s ones, yeah, that one's so fucking good.
Even though the dub
I love the dub. The dub track's amazing, though, too.
It's just like, people say, oh, they ruin it, but just like all the, like, you know, just like, just fit in cocksucker and fuck you anywhere they can in that.
Just, well, that's what I mean. It was just like, somebody said, hey, we can swear in cartoons now. Are you fucking kidding me? Well, this script doesn't have any swears in it. That's okay, we'll fucking make them up.
Where, like, the other one, I don't know, plus there's like, Basario and the girl, I don't remember her name, but, like, they were, like, just, they were partners in the first one. Mm-hmm. Then the remake or the reboot, whatever it was, they were, like, lovers, and it was, like, a Beauty and the Beast kind of story, and it was just, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it sort of had, well, it's, like opposite Beauty and the Beast. Like, at first, she's, like, she loved the guy, and then he turned into the Beast. That's almost kind of how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's how the original manga sort of was, too, so I know that's probably one of those ones where it's, like, the CG one's more based on the manga, where...
I know it is, like, I think it's, I don't know if it's entirely the same creator, but I think it's the guy who did Ghost in the Shell.
I think so, too. I think it is.
And I don't know if they, like, trimmed it down or made it, like, more simplified, because usually Ghost in the Shell, like, both the series and the movies, I haven't read that manga, but the anime series and the movies ask very existential questions and a lot of philosophy, where both Appleseeds, they had a little bit of that, but it seemed to be a lot more of, like, let's just cap some fuckers, man! You know?
Yeah, put a bit more of that in there. But, other than that, though, I guess the other Hawaiian thing, yeah, is Pokemon Sun and Moon came out, and that's fucking just pure amazing in itself. You know, there's always people out there that, you know, they always say, like, you know, I love Red and Blue so much, but why do I need to keep playing these games? Like, they always kind of ask that question. And sometimes I feel like, unless you sit down and play, like, the last, you know, 10 years worth of Pokemon, you know, each game, even if it might look on paper like the same thing, it's all the small things that always get updated and all these things like that that just really actually make the newer ones. You know, Red and Blue is definitely the classic, but gameplay-wise, it's like, the more modern they get, the better they play, the better everything kind of runs, and just, you don't have to deal with so much of that other crap that you put up with as a kid, but it's like, now it's like, you know, I don't want to deal with that, you know? I mean, I think of all the problems with Red and Blue. You're like, it's a glorious game, but you remember, like, when you went to go catch a Pokemon, and you're like, fuck, I almost got this Pokemon, got him, like, weakened out, you throw the Pokeball, you catch it, and then it goes, oh, there's nowhere to transfer it, your box is full. Remember shit like that? Like, I think people forget those kind of things. It's like, that fucking sucked, you know? Or just even other things, too. It's just, you know, the game, I mean, for what it was, you know, you didn't have the run feature. Like, when they put add the run feature in Pokemon, I was like, oh, this is great. I can go everywhere. I don't have to ride the bike every single time. I can just run. This is perfect. Just all those little things like that, or I love the experience share. Like, having that, and the Pokemon Sun and Moon, they give it to you, like, right at the beginning. That's such a nice thing, because then it's like, you know, before it was like, there just wasn't enough time or people to battle to actually equal your Pokemon out. So you pretty much had to pick two or three. There just wasn't enough people to fight unless you're going to fight your friends all day long. So all these little things like that are just so cool, and I love seeing them just keep adding in more and more to Pokemon and just getting it just dialed in really well.
I have to pick that up at some point. I know that's... I notice almost what the show's becoming is, Donegan, have you seen this movie? Have you seen the show? Have you played this game? Like, no! I'll have to do it! Maybe three of those things I've done over, like, 200-something episodes.
Exactly. But, no, this game is... It was well worth, like, dusting off the old 3DS, because I really hadn't played 3DS in... Seemed like quite a while. It was just one of those ones... Not saying there wasn't games coming out for it, but there wasn't something that totally jumped out, like, oh, man, I gotta fucking go out and get that game.
Well, this seems like something that I actually probably would really legitimately check out, and, to go a few episodes back, the stuff you suggested. I actually did see The Accountant, and I did really like The Accountant. But, going back a few episodes regarding that. But anyway, as far as the 3DS goes, I actually might just pick up this game in a paycheck or two, just because...
It's so
cool. I need a new game, and there's really not a whole lot jumping out on me on PlayStation 4 at the moment. So,
Well, to me, it's like, you know, it was almost picking up the 3DS again, and I made sure, I went out, I'm like, you know what? I've always been that person who I get a Game Boy when they kind of first come out, and then I'm stuck with, like, Generation 1 of whatever the Game Boy is, and, you know, they get, you know, the 2 or 3 or whatever it comes out next, and they're just so much better, it really makes the experience different. You know what I mean? Like, when I was a kid, I had the Game Boy, and then there's, like, the Game Boy Pocket. Well, I didn't have a Game Boy Pocket until way later, but I did get the Game Boy Color. That was about the only one I was ahead of the time. But then when I had the Game Boy Advance, I didn't get an SP for a long time, and I didn't get the, you know, the fucking, the little light one or whatever. What the fuck was that one called? The mini one. Remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
They had, like, the fucking amazing screen on it. There's just things like that you don't think about. So I was like, oh, well, now I got the new 3DS, you know, the XL one with the big screen, and it's like, oh, it makes such a big difference over having, like, the older, clunkier one. And even the 3D on, I was playing a game, like, I was playing Gunvolt, and I was like, I was amazed that I actually had the 3D on the whole time. It was just like, what the fuck? I'm like, before, you'd turn it on for a second and go, huh, that looks kind of cool. Turn it off. Okay, let's play. Let's get serious.
I heard the new 3DS, what they do is when you turn it on, it actually has, like, the cameras follow your eyes. Like, it scans your face, and then it follows. This almost sounds very Hal-ish. Like,
yeah.
Like, Space Odyssey. But it actually follows your face, so when you're turning a certain way, it's trying to keep track of, like, where you're at, so it doesn't look like a... So it doesn't look... You don't see the, I guess... The blurs and all that.
Yeah, because it's got... It's, well, one, it's just got better 3D in it anyways, but yeah, it's got an infrared thing that tracks your head. So it's really... If you do the thing where you look to the left and then look back, your screen will be, like, all jambled up. You're like, oh, what the fuck? But in a sense, I was amazed at how well the 3D was. And then you get Pokemon, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have the 3D cranked up the whole time. And then you're like...
Battery's gone.
No, there's just no 3D in the game.
Oh,
no, it's weird. Anymore. It's like... It's a direct Nintendo game, and there's no 3D in it. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that is.
Because I remember in X and Y, they had the thing where the 3D only happened in the battles, but it didn't happen like when you were just running around the map. I was like, okay, whatever. But I was just kind of surprised that this one's like, boy, it's like Nintendo's like, fuck that feature.
Maybe it's almost like they almost did it so you could play it like on your... This is how behind the times I am. Could you play that on your old DS, or is there just no 3D in this 3DS game?
Old DS as in DS or 3DS?
DS.
No, you can't play any 3DS game on the DS.
I just wonder if this is the one exception, but yeah.
No.
That seems weird. No 3D. It's something called a 3DS game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got the 2DS out there, which is it's a really cool system, too. And until, like, the XL and the new came out, I always thought, I'm like, dude, the 2DS is the way to go. It's, like, half the price, and it's, like, you're not going to use the 3D anyways.
Something I thought was kind of stupid is I heard someone say, I don't expect these people to be main gamers, but I hear people say, yeah, I don't know. I mean, 3DS looks cool, but I don't think I'm going to get it. Like, why is that? Like, well, I don't like 3D. You can turn that off.
I've heard that my whole time. It's like, you know, it's called it 3DS. It doesn't really mean that you have to play the game in 3D the whole time. And as I said, for the last 5 years or whatever the 3DS has been out, I've pretty much never played in 3D until just recently. And, yeah, but that new Pokemon, though, it's just so cool. But you know what's kind of, this is the funny thing about that game. Is, you know, the last handful of Pokemon games, or practically all Pokemon games in general, they always had, like, in a sense, like, this is supposed to take place, you know, in this part of Japan, or this is supposed to take place there in, like, the U.S. or Paris or somewhere like that. But realistically, if nobody fucking said that, you pretty much would absolutely not know that at all. Mm-hmm. I never really felt like that came across at all in any of those games. You know what I mean? I mean, like, okay, yeah, it's, I assume that, you know, in the first couple Pokemon games, well, it's a fucking Japanese game, so I'm assuming it's in Japan. Like, that kind of came there. But I also kind of took it as, like, it's a completely different world, you know, in a sense. But this one is, like, it takes place in, like, a Hawaii area called Alola. But it is, like, as Hawaiian as fuck. Like, if nobody told you you were playing a Hawaiian game, you would know 10 seconds into this game that you were playing a Hawaiian game.
You still have 8 gyms, or is there less gyms, or...
They do that actually kind of differently, but I just want to say, this is, like, how you know. The professor you got in it, when he comes walking out, he's got board shorts on, and, like, sandals, and he's got, like, his white lab coat on, but he doesn't have a shirt underneath it. He's got, like, glasses and a ball cap on. It's like, this is a fucking relaxed place. Like, this is Hawaii as fuck right here. I'm surprised he's not voiced by The Rock, almost.
He's like, yo, bro, sorry, I'm just getting some mad waveage, bro. Like that.
Yeah, and then just everybody else, too, is just like, they're all dressed very Hawaiianified. I mean, your character, like, they moved there from Kanto, or, no, they, I think they moved there from the Gold and Silver Town for some reason. And, you know, even the way you're sort of dressed, too, so it's like, you got this kind of, like, light Hawaiian thing going on. And as you go through the town, it's like, they actually have these ones really differently built up. Like, at first, you're going through these very Hawaiian-looking areas, and then all of a sudden, you get to kind of ones that look very Japanese, and then you start getting to areas that, like, they even give it, like, a very American theme. Because, you know, when you think about Hawaii, it's kind of like three different places in one. You got your traditional Hawaiian stuff there, which is kind of fleeting more than anything else. But then other than that, though, it's America and Japan slapped together.
Yeah.
You know, that's totally what it is. And then this game, they're getting that across. Even though when they make for America, it's like, okay, you're going to America. It's Farmville, just like, you know, we're going down the old western area. You get on a horsey there and keep going.
Here's your banjo!
Yeah, like, that's what they make America.
Want to ride a pig? Here you go, boy!
Yeah, that's pretty much what America Town's like.
You go by, like, he's like, what's that? Oh, that's the KKK gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. You earned a hate badge.
Yeah, exactly. But the way they do the gyms is actually kind of interesting. They do something new in this one. They're called, like, trials instead. So you kind of, you go to, in a sense, like, your gym area, and then you got to do, like, a certain task or so, or a couple different things. Maybe you got to battle these random Pokemon. Maybe you got to do these switches or something like that. Or, like, you know, calm down the water or something. And then you end up battling, in a sense, the gym leader. And then you get your kind of badge or whatever. But it's a little bit different. Where, I mean, it's still kind of the same thing, but enough different to make it feel sort of new and fresh.
Well, essentially, there's always something keeping you from getting to the gym. Kind of like, I want to get to that gym. There's a fucking tree in the way. Oh, well, you got to go on the SSN and do this. And do you rub the guy's back, and he gives you an HM. You're good. Where I guess, it's kind of the same thing when it gets down. Because there's always something stopping you from getting to the gym.
This one's a little bit better about, like...
Except Pewter City.
This one's a little bit better. There's not as much things stopping you like that. Like, and this one, it's kind of, like, a little bit more progressively, like, fluid the way it goes. Instead of just, like, showing up and just like, oh, what the fuck? I can't go any farther. Mm-hmm. Like, this one, it's just always kind of leading you along. Now, they do have, like, a lot of fucking cutscenes of, like, talking in this one. It's like, every single time you get somewhere, it's like, oh, fuck.
Is the dialogue there's actually those... good? Because a lot of times, I was playing Black and White, and dialogue still came out as very kind of clunky, sort of.
It's not bad. I mean, like, you know, it's toned down enough to make it kind of, like, kid-safe and things like that. But it's not bad. There's nothing wrong with the dialogue. But sometimes, too, it's like, okay, I'm playing a Pokemon game here. I do not need to have these long-winded conversations with all you fucks every single time we get to a new place. Because the thing is, this is the one where, like, just like how X and Y was, they kind of have, like, a group of people, so it's, like, not only, it's, you know, like, you walk around, you got the professor, like, walking around and everything like that, and then there's, like, this little girl who's like, I don't like fighting, I just like protecting my one Pokemon and, you know, hanging out. And then there's, of course, there's this Hawaiian kid who's always following around, who's pretty much just, like, the Ash of everything. He's always like, I'm a fucking idiot! Like, this guy right here just beat the shit out of me! How about you battle him instead? And you just go up there and, like, fucking whoop his ass, and you're like, yeah, that's how it's done.
Bitch.
Yeah, fucking, fuck you, Hawaii Ash.
Or is it just, it's one of those things, like, it's okay, they gave me a badge because they felt sorry for me.
It's almost, it's close.
I died a little bit ago, this happened before you got here. I died a little bit ago, my Pikachu cried hard enough, I'm back to life for some reason, don't worry.
He literally
has
a Pikachu.
He does.
He has a Pikachu. Oh. And this guy, this is what makes me feel like this guy is Ash as can be. Okay, you know how, like, in the other Pokemon games, whatever Pokemon you choose, like Gary or whatever your other rival is, always takes the Pokemon that's strongest against you? Mm-hmm. Not this guy. He takes the Pokemon that's weakest against you. Well, so I chose the fire Pokemon, he chose the grass one.
Well, in Black and White, there was... I never finished it, but I was playing it for a while. Black and White, there was that thing where you did have two rivals. You had the guy who picked whatever was strongest against you, then you had the girl that picked whatever was weak against you, and they're your rivals, but they play off like, hey, we're best friends! You bumped into town too! And every time I saw them, I was like, fuck both of you. It was just like, it was kind of one of those things, like, I wish you could, it was one of those things where you could actually say what you wanted to these people, and just be like, it's like, oh, would you want to battle? That'd be so cool. All right, see you later. And like, regardless if you won or lost. And it'd be like one of those things, like, just fuck, just, they both annoyed me. Like, this guy's a fucking nerd. She's fucking stupid. I hated your two rivals in Black and White. This annoyed the everyone.
Yeah, this one, it's like, you could kind of say that the Hawaiian Ash guy is sort of your rival, because he does things like, let's have a battle just to see where we're standing at, you know. But it doesn't, I don't know. Same time, it's like, good, I need that experience.
Well, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I guess they go like, how many times can we make it the asshole? Here's an idea. Let's make you the asshole. Let's make him the underdog.
Well, you know, speaking of assholes, though, in this one they got a new kind of Team Rocket-ish people, but they're called Team Skull.
That's a cool name.
It sounds cool. It sounds really cool. It's, you know. But then when they show up, you get there, and they're just standing there, like, shaking their arms back and forth, and they're like, yo, dog, what's going up? Fool, we're here to take your Pokemon. But no, they're not like, black. They're just completely white.
Is it more like, Limp Bizkit or Jet Grand
Limp
Radio?
Bizkit. Limp Bizkit. Well, I'd say a mix between Limp Bizkit and Jet. If Fred Durst was riding rollerblades and spray painting with a skull mask on.
It's still not cool enough. I mean, no. Jet Grand Radio, they find a way to make it look cool. Maybe it's because their designs are.
Well, I think because they're kind of more Japanese. Like, these ones, like, okay, I guess you could say they're sort of Japanese because it's still like Pokemon, but Pokemon has a good way of making people feel kind of like almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, almost like if you think about the Pokemon's design style. Like, I mean, some people look more Japanese or more white than others, and obviously some look black, but they do have, like, a look that when you look at some of the characters, they almost feel like that could be Italian, that could be Mexican, that could be Japanese, that could be American, that could be anything, you know, it could be Hawaiian.
Do they have, like, any, like, Pokemon drive-bys? Like, there's a get him, Charizard! What?! You know?
No, they're not doing that.
What happened to your special skull, motherfucker?!
No, they're just like, there's one where there's like two guys just fucking like waving their arms around.
Is that what they do? Is that their motion? They just kind of dance?
Yeah, they always got their fucking arms like, yo, and stuff. And they're standing around this bus stand like, yeah, we're fucking man, this bus stand. Yo, like, what do you fucking want? And then like you battle them. And then afterwards they're all pissy. They're like, pfft. Like, that bus driver would have been fucking so tight if we would have been there. You know why? Because he didn't have to go fucking work the next day. We were doing him a fucking favor. And it's just like, hey, get the
they
fuck
say
out
fucking?
Of here. No, they don't say fucking.
I didn't think they would. I wonder if they bleeped it out though.
No, they don't bleep it out either, but it's just like, they're just always saying, like, yo, and dog and shit. Well, they're not saying shit, but you know what
dog
I mean.
Dog with D-W-H.
No, just D-O-G, I think, and things like that. Okay. But they're just talking, like, and it's weird because they got that sort of, like, punk rocker slap mixed in with the rapper thing. It's a weird, like, combo.
Is it kind of like how, like, whenever you play, like, a 90s brawler, it always looks like you're fighting a Beastie Boy?
Kind of like a Beastie Boy. But then, like, I met, like, one of, like, the higher-ups of, like, the team school, and it was, like, a lady, but she looked very, like, punk rock. Like, she had these, like, almost, like, giant curl things around her hair, and then like it was multicolored coming out and everything like that, and I don't know if she had tattoos or something like that, but she looked all punk rock. It was kind of weird, like she was getting ready for like a Misfits concert.
Team Plasma sucks.
I wish they'd just go back to Team Rocket. It's like they haven't had Team Rocket forever.
You could make Team Rocket, like, you know, more threatening if you just gave him like something other than like, what do you got? I got a Cubone and a Meowth and a Pidgey. Yeah. That's what you got? Yeah! There's just people in the Pokemon world where it's just kind of like, well, let's just... When you first play the game, because I actually downloaded Yellow on my DS, and I was actually playing that a little bit ago, just for nostalgia. It was right around when Pokemon Go came out. And I forgot, there's some of the small things I forget about. Like, when you get through Viridian City, old man, like, laying across the road, I'm not going anywhere until I get my fucking coffee! It's like, okay, you gotta go do some stupid errands and get him his coffee. He's like, yeah. I'm sorry, I get that way when I don't have my fucking coffee. I'll teach you how to catch a fucking Pokemon. He can't even fucking catch it. Like, oh, I'll get it one of these days. This fucking 10-year-old does it. Boom, boom, boom. Later, old fucker. Just keeps on going.
No, it's like one of those ones. Yeah, it's like, I mean, this one. Yeah, the Team Rocket guys still, or the Team Skull guys still have kind of dumb Pokemon. This part actually made me kind of laugh, though. There was this place I found that was kind of like a waste facility, and they're like, oh yeah, we have mucks here and everything, and they just eat the trash. So, you know, if you got trash, you just throw it in a muck's face. You know, and he'll eat that shit like he fucking wants. He's like, oh, I don't like the trash.
You leak what we fucking give you.
Yeah. Well, that's funny, because there was a guy that was like, it was a guy and like his father and stuff, and like, the father was like, you know, janitor wants to fight, but like his son was there too, and he's like,
Dad, I want to be a Pokemon Master. He's like, well, yeah, well, you fucked up and you didn't become one, so guess what? You should be grateful I'm giving you a fucking job. He's like, but Dad, he's like, you call me sir, goddammit.
it's like there's the thing, like you fucking failed me, son. I put all my stock into you.
Yeah, and you told me that you'd become a good investment, and you know what? You failed. So you know what? We're going to have to work here at the dump. And by golly, you better give me enough money so I can fucking retire and actually enjoy working at Hawaii.
Well, it's like when you first beat Gary for the final time in like Pokemon like Blue, Red, or Yellow, and like when Professor Oak gets there, he says like, "Blue, I knew you'd fuck it up." As soon as you get there, I hear you win. I come in and fucking Red's already beat it. Maybe that's why he was such a dick, because he couldn't even remember his own grandson's name.
Well, this is probably what it was like. Every single time, like, "Hey, Grandpa, what's going on?" Like, "Oh, Gary.
Yeah, I thought it'd be Ash would come in." He's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I tried." He's like, "Yeah, well, Ash there got scored an A on his test. Saw you got a B minus. Well, you know, I stayed up all night. Clearly didn't stay up long enough."
Ash, he didn't stay up at all. Let's call him Blue and Red.
Let's go
Ash. Ash is too
funny. Ash is retired.
Ash would just bumble his way through. He just like almost like trip his way and happen
over
to get
his own balls like whoop,
whoop, whoop. The pin like fucking spins in the air, just like bounces on the paper for a second. Just happens to check all the right answers. Oh, okay, that's good enough.
Going back to Star Wars, Ash's equivalent of Jar Jar Binks was your main character. He was fucking going around.
Pretty much,
let's just say that, let's say Qui-Gon was Brock, and Queen Amidala was fucking maybe Misty. Yeah, Jar Jar, that's what that story would have been, is Jar Jar would have been fucking Ash.
Does that make, like, Charmander?
I caught this R2, and he doesn't want to be my friend.
Does that make Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, Charmander or something?
I guess, yeah, because he's all reluctant.
He's being trained by Qui-Gon.
I guess I'd make him, like, Geodude.
Oh, there you go.
Onyx.
There you go. But, no, because that's one of those things. Like maybe that's the reason like Gary and Blue just hate you so much. Because Foster Oak's like, "Oh, no, that red boy down the street, he has it all figured out.
He's going somewhere, I tell you."
Unlike Blue, who just was fucking born into it.
Yeah,
like,
geez.
Grandpa, you mean it's
just
not my...
because I'm your fucking grandpa doesn't mean I can fucking support your ass. Not my fault your parents fucking died.
It's Gary's room. It's like, just the
janitor's... It wasn't my fault. I left the stove on one time! And the house fucking exploded. You just had to go outside and play b-ball with the gang.
It's one of those things. It's just like, you had to leave your Voltorb in there.
Yeah, you know.
You forgot to feed your Voltorb and it just blew up the whole goddamn house.
God, I thought I showed you how to play Super Smash Brothers. Jesus Christ.
And then, like, maybe just one of those things. When Ash walks in the room or Red walks in the room, he's like, "Oh, hey, smell you later. I'm so cool."
He goes outside, like, one little tear comes out. He's like,
like, that's the one person he's just an asshole to, because he just has to, like, he has to be above somebody.
He's just, like, he's sitting in his bedroom with, like, fucking candlelight on, like, throwing darts at, like, a picture of, like, fucking Red's face on the wall. Yeah. One fucking day, I'm gonna show him who's a Pokemon Master. I'm gonna be the gym leader of this fucking shit. And then maybe that's, like, why in Gold and Silver, maybe, like, at one point he's, like, you know, after Ash won the Pokemon League and captured Mewtwo, everything was good. He got married and everything like that. And then one night, his wife died of something poisonous that he ate. And he was never the same. And he went out to hide in the cave where Mewtwo was found. He's like, one day, he's like, no, Gary fucking, like, sneaks in the house. All creepy, like,
crawling the walls, almost.
His fucking good life is over. You know, like, he's, like, taking poison out and he's, like, pouring it into, like, some drink. He's like, sure, fucking enjoy.
He's having Ekans spit into, like...
Yeah, he's, like, taking an Ekans and, like, stretching it out so, like, extracts the venom.
Or, like, what if, like, you know, fucking Professor Oak then goes into his grandson's room and stumbles across, like, this notebook, opens it up. There's all, like, these crude, like, scribbled drawings of, like, him murdering Ash. Like, even your artistry is fucking shit!
Yeah. Here's a picture of fucking Red drew for me of someone getting murdered. It's all, like, highly detailed, like, Jim Lee style.
Of him just beating the fuck out of Red. Or him beating the fuck out of, like, Blue. He's just like, tell you what, that's going on in the fucking living room.
I'll put that on the fridge right there. That's artwork you want to display.
What'd you pick again? An Eevee? Fucking loser. It's a girl's Pokemon.
In fact, you know what? Your fucking cousin, she was a girl. She has a Charizard. That's a woman right there, I tell you. Kind of woman I'd marry. Not saying anything that fucking weird because it's related to me or anything, but you know.
Just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there.
I'm sorry, you're still here?
Thought you left. I was actually just enjoying this conversation I was having myself. Not that you're here, you're ruining it.
Yeah.
It's funny, in Pokemon Moon and Sun, I finally ran into Professor Oak and he's there, and he's like wearing a Hawaiian shirt and like fucking board shorts, and he's got like this fucking super like 80s mullet going on. He's like, yeah, I'm just kind of out here cruising, you know, checking out the Pokemon, learning new things.
Surfing for some trim out here. I'm used to that Kanto shit.
I realize that, you know, if I go out this far, Blue can't fucking reach me.
Is Blue, like, the leader of the Elite Four, and, like, Red's, like, in the
He
temple.
Isn't, like, Gold and Silver.
Gold and Silver, yeah. In Gold and Silver, he's, like, the leader of the Elite Four, and then Blue is out in the, you fight, or Red's out in the, like, temple where you fight Mewtwo.
Yeah, he's out there, like, I don't know, contemplating life. It's like, after my wife died, I just had a mental breakdown. I couldn't be a part with normal people again.
Or Blue's like, he knows. Deep down, he knows.
He knows there's only one person that would have murdered his wife.
But he can't fucking prove it.
He can't prove it.
The one thing I had to beat him at.
But no, Sun and Moon's a real sweet game. I think you should totally get it. I put about almost 10 hours into it so far. I mean, at its core, it's Pokemon, as always, but boy, you know, just, like, the graphics are just a little bit better. You know, just everything about it, it's a progressive thing, and it's cool to see all those little things in there, and, you know. They got a lot of features from X and Y. X and Y added a lot of stuff to it. That was a game that was kind of like, when I played X and Y, I was like, I love Black and White a lot, but X and Y, I was like, oh, fuck, this feels like a big step. Mm. And this one feels, maybe not as big of a step as X and Y, but it still is another step up, and that's real cool.
Where is... Black and White's America. Where's X and Y?
That was the one that I think was supposed to be Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one that was Europe.
Oh, okay.
And then, I have no idea what Diamond and Pearl was supposed to be. Like, see, one of those ones, like, all the older ones, I will say this, X and Y was the first one that was like, oh, okay, well, there's sort of an Eiffel Tower-looking thing in this area, there's sort of things like that. I can kind of get, but, like, the first, like, five generations of Pokemon, it was kind of like, well, they just more look like a Pokemon town. You know what I mean? At the end of the day...
Well, it's like, what do we got? Well, we got one house, there's a general store, there's the Pokemon Center, and there's a gym, yeah. This is a city.
This is Verdant
City. Verdant City! I don't know.
We got a casino! You can go spend your hard-earned cash there!
That's kind of like, I mean, none of them actually looked like towns till you got to, like, Celadon, or, even Pewter was just like, okay, you know.
Well, that's, I remember X and Y kind of had that thing where, like, they finally made the towns actually look a little bit bigger. Like, there was, like, one, like, main city that had, like, the Eiffel Tower thing. And it was actually, for a Pokemon game, it was pretty fucking big looking. So that was kind of neat.
Black and White had that too, I think.
Yeah, Black and White was, I think, one of the first ones to have a town that was like, oh, that's actually kind of a large town.
Rather than just being the three buildings moving on. Where, I guess, at first, it makes sense. I'm not trying to talk shit, because
yeah.
I had so many good memories to the original.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best ones ever. And, you know, the remake of Red and Blue is really fucking good. But, yeah, there's just a lot of people that always kind of like, that's as far as they've gone. They didn't go past the remake. It's like, dude, I know there's that thing that I think some people go, there's, like, too many Pokemon now. It's like 850. It's like, it's okay, man. Fucking be grateful you live in America and you can get all these Pokemon. You know what I mean? Some people's countries only get 150.
If there's another one, oh, there's plenty more, dude.
They're like, yes, but Saddam said we could only have 150. And even though he's dead, we still can't have more than 150.
And that extra one, that was just for him.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's allowed to have
Mew. Mew is mine. I love Mew. Mew is mine.
He just has, like, a banner of Mew over his fucking balcony.
Yeah.
Like, guess what I got? He, like, brings the whole city around.
He's just holding a Mew and a gun in one hand.
Or just, like, an old-fashioned Game Boy.
It's like, yeah. It's all gold-plated. So you know that's why his Game Boy's better than everyone else's.
And we just used to see a whole, like, crowd just, like, yay! Just probably, like, slow clapping.
Slowly crying, like... Can you trade me the Haunter Soda Ball?
No, we can't trade public.
You trading? You all trading?
Some guy comes up, just clips the cable. That's all it is. Like, oh,
that's your one warning.
Yeah.
Next time it's your hands.
Next we'll hang you with the cable. But yeah, Pokemon, great fun stuff. We actually saw another really cool movie, too, that's like, you know, similar to Pokemon, I guess. Involves
totally similar.
Involves French people.
So, in a way that, oh, you know that one Pokemon took place in sort of France?
Yeah. Well, this movie sort of took place in sort of France, you know, England.
There's a French girl in it.
So close.
Yeah. And they speak French, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of French speaking in it.
So, in that aspect, it's kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah. It's got Brad Pitt, so, you know, that always kind of reminds you of yourself in Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because we all think of ourselves as Brad Pitt.
We like to think of ourselves as Brad Pitt.
I know.
Truth is, we're all Edward Norton, but we'd like to think of ourselves as Brad Pitt.
But we really hope that we are Brad Pitt in real life.
Exactly. But no, we saw Allied, and yeah, spoilers.
Do you think that Edward Norton ever just lays in bed and just thinks of himself being like in every Brad Pitt movie?
I mean,
he's Edward Norton, so he is pretty freaking cool still, but...
It's cool, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, Brad Pitt is just like...
He's just gonna fucking Troy poster up his bed.
His wife's like, can we pull that down? Like, no!
No. I like to stare at this for 3 hours before I go to sleep, and then eventually, in my dreams, I will turn into Brad Pitt, and then next thing you know, I'll be an Allied and fucking maybe doing what I want to do.
I feel like, you know, Brad Pitt's one of those guys. He's one of those, like, classic big-time actors. I mean, he's the go-to. We make fun of... People make fun of, like, oh, the big stereotypical Hollywood actor. They sort of make fun of Brad Pitt, but he is really good. And I think that when he goes, I mean, this is speaking way ahead of time, but when he goes, I got a feeling he's going to be kind of like a Marilyn Monroe. Like, you're going to see him on a bunch of stuff. Everyone's going to be
like
sad.
2050, if not more, you'll just have, like, lighters of, like, Brad Pitt. And, well, if they still use lighters by that point, they probably wouldn't have those by then. But you know what I mean? You'll see flying cars of Brad Pitt.
There'll be, like, a lot of, like, memorabilia and nostalgia, kind of like a Jimi Hendrix or...
James Dean.
I'm saying people that died young.
John Wayne.
I'm saying people that died young, but I think he'll be kind of like a John... I mean...
Let's say John Wayne. There's a good example.
I think he'll be kind of like a John Wayne, but at the same time, like... I think of Brad Pitt more as like a Paul Newman or a Robert Redford. And
yeah.
I think that once he goes... Because the thing is, he'll do, like, artsy movies, but then he'll do a movie like, want to see me with a machine gun? Fuck yeah, here you go. Then he'll do something like Tree of Life. Then he'll do something like Allied or just some artsy movie but with just starring him and his wife and it's about like a relationship or whatever. So I think that for that, he's kind of reached all bases. And he's, it's going to be like a Paul Newman or Robert Redford, something to that effect.
Well, I really do think he is the guy who's going to be one of those like super just... He already pretty much is as the super legendary actor. I mean, you know, you can't kind of
deny... Like Steve McQueen.
He is. I'll say this, he's beyond a Steve McQueen by this point. Steve McQueen, sadly enough, just wasn't around enough. I mean, Steve McQueen got like 15 movies or something? Maybe 20? Probably got more than that.
Yeah, probably more than that. But I mean, it was one of those things like he has that kind of charisma to him. Like, he reminds me of like a Paul Newman or a Steve McQueen. I know they're not exactly the same, but just that guy who just comes across so fucking cool at the same time. Like, I don't know, whenever I see him in interviews, he always seems pretty cool. He doesn't seem full of himself. I think he came from a working class background and worked his way up, so.
Yeah, so he's not like entitled like some other people in Hollywood and things like that. So Ally just, you know, Brad Pitt going back into the fray, fat and fucking nasties again and doing everything you want Brad Pitt to do in a movie.
That's the thing about Fury.
Cracking jokes, shooting people, punching people.
There's very little, like, cracking jokes in this movie. Fury is just, fuck, I love Fury so
Fury's
much.
Fury's, like, that's really, like, the best, like, that is, like, one of the best Brad Pitt movies I think I've seen. That's one of the best World War II movies, almost. It's
just
so, I've actually only seen it once, and that's how much I like it.
Just so fucking raw. He's just so angry, so fucking bitter. And then it's even that point, like, I didn't have trouble with him by this point, but Shia LaBeouf was even a fucking badass in that movie.
Yeah.
Just, like, he has one of the most badass lines in that movie, and it's, like, he's, like, the one religious guy in the group. It's just like, yo, I think Jesus loves Hitler? And he's like, yeah, Jesus loves Hitler. Ain't gonna see him for man's justice. One of the best fucking lines.
Yeah.
So, I think that, like, but as far as, like, you know, Brad Pitt just likes doing his World War II movies, and I think this is an example of,
And what's this? This is his third one, I guess?
There's probably more than that, but I mean,
I was trying to think of, like, I know, because, you know, you got Glorious Bastards, you got Tank, or Fury, Tank.
And then this, I mean, there's probably another one in there, but this is, as far as I can think off the top of my head, the third one. Mm-hmm. But, basically, what I like most about this movie is the first act. I mean, aside from it takes place in Casablanca, I like how I think it was almost an intentional homage to Casablanca.
I think so, because it had a bit of that elements in there and everything like that. And it kind of has this cool spy espionage thing getting kind of tossed around, and they finally meet each other. And oh, I also like the way the movie started. Let's just go back to the very beginning. Fucking Brad Pitt's parachuting down. And I don't know what else. These are things that always just make me laugh in the movie, because it just shows him parachuting.
Fuck.
Well, that, and then it just shows the ground is just fucking desert for miles. And just like, it just is like that. Oh, this is gonna be fucking fun. Like, you just see like the feeling that the character's gonna have landing down. Like, fuck, how long is it gonna take before somebody comes by to pick me up? I have to walk through this godforsaken desert.
And then, like, you know, he's like, it's like for a while there's not very much talk in the movie, and you realize he's on an espionage mission. He's meeting up with a girl who's a double agent. They're pretending to be wives. This is the first time they're meeting each other. The lady's played by Marion Cotillard,
Talia al Ghul,
and. As they get there, you know, there is this interesting, like, thing she points out, like, okay, this, you don't, you keep driving like this because they are, if you keep driving like this, otherwise, they'll be on to you. You gotta meet me up on top of the roof at this time, otherwise they're on to us. And they do have this very kind of dry, like, this dry dialogue between each other. It's, they're trying to keep business, but it's kind of slowly slipping into, like, it is a romance movie, but it doesn't feel cheesy the way they get there.
Yeah, it's... You know, first and foremost, it's a war drama is what this movie is that happens to have spy elements. And then it's got, you know, its bits of romance, its bits of action, and all these other kind of little things pieced in there. And, you know, this comes from Robert Zemeckis, which I'm just glad to see more than anything else. He's back to doing live action. Because he was such a fabulous fucking, like, live action director. And then he kind of went to CG zone for, like, 10 years. I'm not saying those movies are, like, bad, but it was just kind of one of those ones like, come on, Rob, when are you coming back?
Mm-hmm. And this one right here, I'll say that, like, I guess, I don't even know if it's the same score, I don't even know if it's the same composer, but it sounded a lot like the Forrest Gump score, so if it's the same guy, that would make sense, right?
There. Yeah.
But, there's this, the part when they actually, because they're trying to assassinate the German Prime Minister, and I think the German Prime Minister, it may have been, I don't have my phone in front of me, so I can't double check it, I got a feeling... That was the guy from Inglourious Basterds, like that one German colonel that was in the bar with them when they're in the when they're playing the card game and he's drinking out of the boots, and he's the one that catches on to Magneto, Fassbender.
Fassbender when he like puts the wrong hand sign up.
I think he's the guy that plays that German officer. Maybe I'm wrong, but he looks very familiar. Anyway, maybe just the Nazi uniform, I just got confused. But anyway.
You know them Nazis, they always look the same.
At some point, you know, they're talking about the plan, and it's like, they're talking about the plan of what how they're going to go about it. Like, yeah, so guns on the table, this and that. And they're very, I like the movie doesn't hold your hand. It leaves a lot, lets you figure out a lot of it. And then, when they're, because there's a lot of building up to this plan. That's probably, the before they actually even get married and all that, it's probably 30 minutes of them just going around, hanging out.
You know,
planning.
Yeah, planning, getting to know each other, getting the ideas down.
And then they say some, like, they're like, the diversion's late. Just wait. And then, you know, the bomb outside goes off, and when it turns around, they fucking flip the table over. They got machine guns. They just start Inglourious Basterding everybody in the fucking room, just shooting everybody. And I'm just like, fuck yeah! And yell it out. But that's almost how I felt. And, like, even the blood, like, the violence... Wasn't like it was actually kind of surprising how it wasn't like, oh my god, that's so violent, but it was surprising how violent
it
was.
Yeah, when somebody got shot, they got shot. Let's just say that.
And like, there's a one of the guys, they shoot him in the head, he goes down, and it shows like blood still kind of squirting out of his head, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like a ooh, dead, done. You know, actually, just I think someone actually probably,
you know, speaking of that part, there's actually was a scene that I actually thought was going to come back around because once they're, you know, they're shooting Nazis left and right in this part, and then there's this like French couple there that's kind of like. The lady's already
Nazi
befriended.
Supporters.
Yeah, Nazi supporters, but they're French. And she's kind of befriended them. And then all of a sudden, he goes over and grabs one of the guns and goes to shoot him. Oh, that's just notes I wrote.
Okay.
And he goes to shoot him. And she turns, Talia turns around and shoots him fucking in the head and takes him out. And then you see, like, the girl looks up and looks at him. And it was, at first, because, like, they do that thing where it's like, oh, fuck, that's going to come around to haunt her later on. I was like, she didn't end up shooting both the wife, too, because now they know...
I think it kind of does.
If it does, they never, like, explain it, though.
I think you
can kind of guesstimate it that maybe it does.
I feel like, because we're going to go into spoilers here, but I feel like because she's the one...
Spoilers.
What?
I think we passed spoilers.
Yeah, but I think she's the one that's, like, the fact that they let her live, she's the one that probably gets to the information of, like, this is what she looks like. She's actually a double agent pretending to be this person, this and mm-hmm. that, and kind of spills that on to, you know, I feel like that's kind of what happened right there. And she's the one that let the German spies living in their town know. I feel like...
See, it could be like that, but see, the thing is, since it really doesn't show anything, it's kind of interesting. It leaves you like, you know, where most movies probably would have had that come back around, this movie just doesn't do that. Which I think that's actually probably better that, you know, you're able to not have to fall into the standard, like, you know, script writing thing that, like, if you show one action, it has to come back around of another consequence later on.
Well, then what happens is after the mission is a success, within that time, they kind of, like, fall for each other, and more of, like... They kind of present it in a way where you can kind of... I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy. Like, it was love after that, but... I can believe, like...
It's World War II.
It's World War II. Everyone's going to die quickly. They really skip that... They got that fear, that feeling it's going to happen. And something else I want to say I thought was interesting. They didn't make Brad Pitt American. He's Canadian.
I thought that was cool, too, because you just don't... You never get to see that too often. And people always forget. They're like, no, there was a lot of Canadians in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... Even so much so, they had Canada across
the and they would show it lots of times, like in close ups, be like, here's his jacket.
Canada!
I was surprised they didn't have him singing that, like he's playing that, like in the car.
That all explains how he speaks French so well. He's like, well, it's Quebec.
He's French, yeah, he's Quebec.
So, but as far as that goes, there was. Because once they get there, once they get back, it kind of shows his normal life for like a good while. They show his normal life. He has a kid. It jumps to a few months later, and they just kind of got rushed. Like, fuck it. Let's get married. We had a good fucking time killing Nazis. I dig you. You dig me. Let's get married. And then, oh, you're pregnant. Shit. And then we jump like a year later.
It's like, oh, you have a kid? Well, guess what? There's a fucking bombing going on in London.
Yeah. Well, I will say there is actually a part I wanted to say. It was just kind of funny to me. Like, it's kind of like a half and half thing. At some point, they're just sitting there eating dinner or eating lunch or whatever, and Marion Cotillard starts to unbutton her blouse, showing off her bra, and Brad Pitt's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" She's like, "Oh, I'm just testing you, seeing your limits." Kind of playing off half and half, like, "A, I'm testing you. B, I'm fine if we fuck, you know."
Yeah.
And then Brad Pitt's like, "Fucking get just fucking killed and fucking don't know how to do fucking. People get fucked when they fuck." You know, he says it says something like that.
Reputation makeup.
Yeah. It was really one of those. It reminded me of California. That movie he's in where he plays like a serial killer. It's California spelled with a K. It's all like, you bundle up that titty! He yells at like Juliette Lewis. Literally. That came to mind. He's like, "No, buckle up your goddamn skirt."
No, that's pretty cool. Well, they have like, that's what I think, is like, there's not like, just like the action, there's not tons of it, but the comedy is the same way too. There's not tons of it, but when there is, it's really funny.
I don't even think it's meant to be funny. I think it's just you and me find it funny.
I guess. Well, there's a part too where it's like, this goes a little bit earlier back, but they're sitting in this cafe, and he looks over and he's like, "Oh fuck, there's a Nazi over there." You know what I mean? He's like, "You think you know him?" He's like, "Yeah, I think I do." And he's like, "Well, what's the likelihood that you think it is that guy?" 60%. Like, something like that, and then he kind of like follows it back into like the rest, or then it goes to the phone booth or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was a cool way that he killed him too. Is, you know, the Nazi goes to make this call, and it kind of almost sounds like he did recognize Brad Pitt, and he's gonna fucking call him in, and then fucking Brad Pitt just fucking like chokes him out and everything like that. And then you see he's taking like this bagel and he shoves it down his throat to make it look like he just choked on fucking bread. That was it. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's cool. I love those kind of things in movies, where it's just like, that's just a kind of new, refreshing way to show, not just your classic, you know, Solid Snake choke him out thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, we gotta go. Just drop some change in the thing. Yeah. Like, that part was kind of, I think it was kind of funny just after that, just pulling the sheet over him. You could still see the legs just sticking out. So I think that's kind of, there are some, like, moments like that that are meant to be funny, but I think it's just kind of, like, other stuff. Like, I was kind of surprised, like, people in the fucking 40s, they fucking partied. It's just like, they're having just a house party, and just that, na 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 na, you know, just that old time, you just imagine, ha ha, you know, we'll just be dancing. But you see people, like, fucking in the closet, people doing lines of coke.
Well, because everybody knows that there's, like, you could just all be dead tomorrow. I think that's the main reason caused that, is just, like, super, like, World War stuff, just... Put you in that edge, you're like, we're all gonna die. So let's get high.
Hey, on the ground, jump around. Iggy Pop's most popular song ever. Actually, not really, but yeah.
With Slash playing guitar.
Which I'll talk about another movie in a little while, but I'll make it quick. But as far as this goes, then they find out, if you haven't seen the trailer, because I'll be honest, I didn't see the trailer. This is a movie I kind of went into cold. I saw a poster for...
I'm surprised that they didn't show the trailer on The Accountant, because I saw it both on The Accountant and Jack Reacher.
I saw a poster for it, and then I saw, you know, when you go on Facebook, how they sometimes have trailers play automatically without any sound. I saw, like, just moments, just a quick little clip of maybe him kissing his wife or whatever as I scrolled. Like, okay, whatever. Brad Pitt, cool. And then saw the movie, so I'm like, oh, fuck, machine guns and killing and Nazis, all that. But no, then, so basically the whole big thing of the movie, which I'd almost prefer it if they didn't, like, because I guess you said this was part of the advertisement, and that's how you told me about it, but I wish they didn't actually say this part, because I thought this would have been a cool twist. He then realizes they think his wife may be a Nazi spy.
Yeah, that would have been a better way. The trailer probably did give away a little bit too much.
Because that doesn't happen until the halfway point of the movie.
Yeah, because I thought that was going to happen like way earlier on, because they said in the trailer, and they probably should have held it out, because you could have just said, like, there are two spies working in Casablanca, fighting, you know, Nazis. Brad Pitt is allied.
The way you told it to me, the way you explained it to me, I thought it was going to happen while they're on that job. I thought it was going to be a movie that took place over the course of 2 or 3 days, and he has to decide if she is a Nazi right then and there.
That's what I thought, too, because that's sort of how the trailer...
Then the movie goes by over the course of, like, a couple, like, 2 years or something.
Yeah.
So, and then it's kind of like, it's him trying to defunct, like, trying to talk to people, trying to get information however he can, little by little, but something mm-hmm. always stops it. And it is one of those things, you are teeter-tottering, is she actually a spy? Is she not a spy? It actually did a good job. I had a mm-hmm. feeling that she was a spy, because...
But it could have went any way.
It could have gone any way, but at the same time, like, I don't think this movie's going to have a happy ending. So either she mm-hmm. is a spy, or she's not a spy, and she gets killed, or he gets killed. Something happens.
Yeah, they both get killed.
Yeah, and then, like, it's kind of a bittersweet ending, but still pretty sad. Mm-hmm. And you find out it's kind of a more of a middle ground, that she was working for the Nazis at one point in time, but betrayed them. They found out, they found her, mm-hmm. and then they're like, we know where you live, we got our own, like, secret cells inside the town, mm-hmm. so if you don't do what we tell you to, we're gonna kill you.
Fucking kid.
We're gonna kill you and your kid. You find out the nanny is actually working for the Nazis, which that was one of those things where it's just like, oh, it's like,
oh, it's another nice one nanny down the street. And the child in.
She didn't have a German accent, but the second Brad Pitt pulls a gun on her, she's all like, "Where is he? Hitler's out to die." You know, like, it was like, I'm like, oh, fuck, she's getting possessed. Like,
yeah, fuck, yeah. Boom, right in the head.
Yeah, and then, like, it's one of those things, like, all these things are building up. Like, are they over-worrying, or is this like a test? They're trying to just test his loyalty?
Well, because there's a job coming up, too, for, like, D-Day. Mm-hmm. And that's also the other thing they're kind of lingering on, like, will Brad Pitt have to go to D-Day?
Uh-huh. And then on top of that, it lands on them just trying to... He finds out, like, it's like the smallest thing, because everything's leading him to a dead end. He finds the smallest thing. He finds out this one woman who they say, the woman who your wife claims to be died a long time ago. She's someone else. Mm-hmm. And he goes to her and says, like, hey, so everything else ran into a wall, so it can kind of go either way. Play the fucking piano, because apparently this lady can play the piano. And she don't. And it's like, oh, fuck!
It's like, yeah, that lady died. She was a good person.
Yeah, and then that's where it's just kind of like, I ain't gonna kill my woman, you know? So they go on the run.
They're like, we're gonna take this plane and fly out of here.
And then, like, I was almost expecting kind of like them to go down together, like a big, like fuck my own country. But what they do a little bit more the artsier thing, which is what they do, is she, like, says, nah, I'm not gonna ruin your life and our kid's life for my sake, and just shoots herself in the head. And then that's where, like, the general, who's his friend's like, he killed her, you all saw it. Yeah. If that's what we fucking tell them, you know.
Yeah, I'll kick any of you in the balls if you say differently.
Chops, I'll kick you in the balls, you say?
I like the way that he stops the plane from going, because I've never seen this before in the movie, too. He literally just pulls up in his fucking Rolls Royce or whatever the fuck it is, and Brad Pitt, he looks kind of like, he's sitting there, he's trying to get the plane started, and you just know that he's up there like, fuck, 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 shit, fuck! You know, like one of those moments, mm-hmm. you know, when you're trying to get something to work, when you know you're mm-hmm. like totally pressured on time? And then all of a sudden, he finally gets the plane started, and the propeller starts spinning, and then all of a sudden, he pulls the thing up, and the propeller just goes, like, right in the fucking wheel well of the car. It's like, geez, that's a fucking ballsy way to stop a plane.
Yeah, I was like, is he gonna fucking die? I'm like, oh, shit, I'll just...
Fuck, yeah.
I don't know, like, a fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark told me that shit spins and just keeps on going, even after you hit a giant German guy.
You know, so, well, that's always the thing. In movies, whenever I see something that, like, I've never seen before, whether it's something as small as that, that's what I like, because, like, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. Never seen a fucking propeller. Someone stop somebody flying a plane just by pulling their car up, just like lightly and just having it tear through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was kind of like, I like the ways, some of those small ways that he couldn't get questions answered. Like, you go to like one guy who's a survivor, like, you were part of the French Resistance. You knew this lady. Is this her? He's just like, dude, my right eye is gone. My left eye, its cornea is my retina's detached. All I see is a blurry square.
Yeah,
it's like well written little things like that.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of really cool stuff in it. I think this movie overall, the only thing to me, I felt like if it just had about two more action scenes in it, I think it would have balanced it out a little bit more. Because that was about the only thing. For as long as it was, because it was a pretty long movie, it was over 2 hours.
It was over 2 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just one of those ones where. It just needed just a little bit more action just to break it up.
I feel like it's one of those movies.
I really liked it, but yeah, it just needed just a little bit more action.
And I don't mean this in a bad way. I feel like it's one of those movies that's probably trying to go for Best Picture or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to win. I could see it possibly getting nominated. I still really liked it, though. I'm not one of those people that hates everything that's nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just more irritated when you got something that is definitely different, but instead of... You know, it's like, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but it's like, yeah, Mad Max had a lot. That looked like the harder movie to make rather than a drama.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're kind of like, dude, Mad Max, like, the amount of work, I don't care who you are, you got to understand how much work went into that movie. And it's just like.
And I'm sure that I haven't seen it, but like, Spotlight, Chihiro is a good movie, and I'm sure it probably is a good movie. It's a
talking heads movie, you know.
It's a document of drama about, like, it's like just a bunch of guys in offices. I'm sure it's
that's
a good
what I mean.
Movie.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just a talkie movie. And I'm not saying anything against it, but like, that's, you know, talking, yeah, acting's great. Don't get me wrong, but that is not like the only part of a movie. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? That is just one element. But
it didn't really change anything.
I think like the movie awards.
I guess the movie first, but that's that type of movie.
Sorry, yeah, I think just the movie awards that's the only element that comes across is that hey, that's all this movie. You know, we only care about the acting part. We can give a flying fuck about the guy who works his ass off in the editing room.
Or the controversial part of it.
Yeah. All those things. It's funny how that is. It's like, the guys that work the hardest, just like anything else in life, the guy who's always working the hardest is getting the least amount of credit.
Which, I want to say this, I mean, because I think we both kind of landed on, we both liked Ally. We thought, I mean, I want to say it's probably, you know, a real ranking, Leonard Maltin ranking system. I'd say it's a 3 out of 4.
I would say that too. That's about it. I would say, though, if it had just a couple more action scenes in it, though, it could be a 3.5 out of 4.
Oh, definitely.
Because that was the only thing. It just needed... Because when there was action, it was fucking badass. But it needed just a little bit more, I think, to balance it out.
It was just pitting it up.
Yeah, the drama almost outweighed it just a tad bit. Because there was a couple of parts where it was like, okay, this is either going on a little bit longer than necessary. Like, I like all the spy stuff, but sometimes there was some drama stuff that was like, okay, come on, we can...
They're just trying to really hammer the home that he's happy. And they
yeah.
had a lot of scenes of him, look how happy he is. And they're like, that's all going to be taken away. They're not going to show this happy shit for no reason. So I was like, you can probably cut some of this out because I know where it's going to go. But
yeah.
I will say, I do want to talk about, before we end the show,
yeah, so
are we good on time?
Let's start wrapping it up.
Okay, well, I want to say, I saw this documentary a little bit ago called Gimme Danger about, and it's by the guy who did Coffee and Cigarettes. And
Coffee and Cigarettes is a weird movie. Did you ever see that one?
I never saw it, but I know it's by the same dude.
It's not really like, you look at it, and it's one of those movies you watch and go, that is the fucking ingenious idea. It's like the most laziest fucking movie known to mankind. It is, what it is, it's literally like if you made a podcast into a movie, that's kind of what it is. Because all it is just, I know for a fact that guy just sat down, and or whoever wrote the movie, I can't remember if it's the same guy that wrote it, but... It might have been one of those ones where just somebody literally wrote down all their friends' conversations in, like, the last couple of months or last year and then just strung them out. Like, it has, like, no real story structure. It is literally just conversation after conversation after conversation in a diner with different people smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee. That's all it is.
Well, in fact, some Iggy Pop's in that movie.
Yeah, and Iggy Pop's one of the people in the movie. That's the thing, is because it's got, like, Bill Murray in it, and it's got a bunch of actors.
Are they playing themselves?
No, I don't think so. They're just, like, talking. It is the ultimate talkie picture. There's nothing more fucking talkier than cigarettes and coffee. And it's in fucking black and white. You gotta focus on the talkiness.
I know it's by the same guy. At least I heard this. And it's basically a documentary on the Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much Iggy Pop, though Iggy Pop is doing probably 80% of the talking in the movie. Because he's just good at giving interviews.
Yeah, is all the Stooges guys still alive?
No, not all of them. They switched through some guys. And it's like... they had... I'm showing a blank on their names. I feel like an asshole. There is their guitar player, and there is these two brothers. The brothers, it was the, I'm trying to remember. I think it was their bass player, and they switched through some people. There's only, like, by this point, I think there's only, if I remember correctly, I'm saying it was a good movie, but I'm trying to remember all the different facts. They switched some guys around. I think there's only two original members left by this point, but at some point they switched out for someone else at the halfway point. And, the one of the guys that died, he did a lot of interviews before he died, like, years back, so it's shown a lot of that. I'm like, why isn't Iggy talking to that guy? I'm like, oh, he's dead, you know? Because they showed a lot of older interview footage of him. I'm just like, what happened? They get to the point where he dies, like, oh. And he's, of course, it's the one guy who was, like, the straight man. He was the guy who wasn't drinking, wasn't partying among everybody. He's the one that went. But, it basically just focuses on the Stooges. Like, when the Stooges end, it stops. It doesn't stop. Like, it just ends on this note of, like, the Stooges, they went on to inspire all these different bands. And then, like, at Coachella 2003, people were reaching out for the Stooges to come back. And he mentioned things, Iggy Pop mentioned things like, well, we believed in communism at the time when we first started. We were just kids. We just suffered communism, so we thought it'd be edgy and different. We're communists, man, you know? And they said, like, we want the Stooges back for Coachella. And I said, well, the only way the Stooges are going to, we're going to pay you like $3 million. Like, well, if you want me, you got to pay the other $3 million because we're communists. We all get the same. He says, and I thought that, like, that would be one of those things. I don't really want to do it, but I didn't think they'd offer it. So when they said yes, I'm like, okay. Oh. And then from there, you know, he talks about how the Stooges started recording again. And then, like, in 2010, 2009, one of the other guys died. I think there's, like, originally only two real original members left. And they had some funny stories. There'll be points, like, some of the editing, like, they'd be talking about something, and they have a rough cut to a movie or old footage of something that fits that. Like, there's a part where he's talking about, like, when I first got down to Hollywood, I was just walking around in, like, you know, tight leather pants. I went to a pet shop and there's a dog collar there. I'm like, I'm going to use that. And I'm just walking around wearing a dog collar. I come down to a crosswalk. I'm about to cross the street, not realizing I can't walk at the moment. I stop and a black Cadillac pulls by. And I swear to God, I see John Wayne. He just gives me this look and drives off. And then that's where it shows a clip of a John Wayne movie where he's pointing a gun outside of out of a car. So he's like, if you see me again, there's going to be trouble. So it's like,
that's nice creative cuts.
It's very informative. And for a second, I thought that it was just going to be like more about, I definitely walked away learning a lot more about how they got there. And it's kind of like how they inspired so many bands after. It was mainly they kind of spun out into drugs after a while, like anything else. There's a couple of moments. We got clean, we started doing drugs, got clean, did drugs, and he said it was Iggy Pop that kind of brought the Stooges back for a minute, then after the Stooges, then Iggy's solo career.
Yeah. Just,
truth be told, I mean, I know, I have a lot of Stooges albums, but I know Iggy Pop more from his solo stuff, truth be told.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, we all know Raw Power, we all know Want to Be Your Dog, but I'm it almost kind of become like, because now it was like Stooges, Iggy and the Stooges, now they're just kind of back to the Stooges. So if I felt kind of like an asshole, because for a while I'd be like, a Stooges song, Iggy Pop! Because it was Iggy and the Stooges, you know?
Yeah.
But now they're just back to, no, it's the Stooges.
Yeah, keep it simple. Well, that's kind of cool, though. Yeah, I remember I heard about when that documentary was coming out. And of course, like any documentary, it has the most limited play known to mankind. So.
Yeah, it was one of those things I just literally stumbled by it. There's like this old movie theater called the 4-Star Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked by like, Gimme Danger. That's a black and white picture of Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Yep, there.
Okay, I know what my afternoon is.
And then that's the thing, those kind of movies, if you do not go that day, it might not be there tomorrow.
It was only playing for 3 days.
Yeah, because I remember that was always the thing when I was in San Francisco, too. It would be like, you would see those cool independent theaters, like, oh, that's awesome. You know what? I will go tomorrow. And then you go, oh, nope, there's only a 1-day showing.
Exactly. That's like, some of the Dragon Ball movies were.
It's kind of like, it's sad that they do that. I mean, I understand there must be, it's probably a rights thing, and they can only have it for so long. But, you know, it's kind of like a bummer. It's like, why can't you show that for, like, at least 1 week? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's, like, some of the other funny editing bits they did. Like, there's a part where he says, like, after the Stooges went under, Iggy Pop's all saying, like, they told us they wanted us to be in a band. They had a big project for me. The record guys came in. They said, Iggy, we got something big for you. We want to get you on Broadway. We want you to play Peter Pan. And then it just abrupt cut to, like, Broadway, like, footage of somebody, like, singing, like, a Peter Pan song. And just cuts back to him with this dumbfounded look. That wasn't gonna happen.
That's pretty funny. I can't wait to see that one when it comes out on video.
Gimme Danger. I mean, you could probably, truth be told, you could probably, because it was an Amazon Pictures movie. So you could
probably
download it on Instant right now.
Yeah. Or you can't take it download on Amazon.
Not download, stream it.
Stream it, yeah. They might even have, they might have to charge for it right now, but that'd be still.
It's really good. I'm going to say if you like Iggy Pop or you like The Stooges or you like kind of early punk stuff, check that out. It's a really, really informative. It's one of those things, there's so much information in it, I'm kind of having trouble remembering everything.
Yeah, you just remember parts.
It's one of those things, like, I did not know that MC5 helped get them going. You know, and, like, some of the shit he talked about for MC5, like, I didn't know this. Like, MC5, I didn't know they're the ones that did Kick Out the Jams.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know they did the original
version. It's funny, too, it sounds just like the Rage Against the Machine version. Because I remember, like, at first, I was always like, is this going to be one of those songs where you listen to? You're like, holy fuck, it's, like, way different. You know what I mean? Because some of those songs, like, somebody cover, especially if you're, like, Rage Against the Machine, you think they're going to, like, do something completely different. And you listen to it, it's like, oh, no, it's like, literally the same thing. It's, like, identical to, like, they say everything the same way. They did, like, a very, like, pure cover of that song.
And, like, you know, Iggy Pop was all saying, like, you know, we were just kids who kind of, like, talked about communism. And, like, oh, yeah, you know, we share everything. We try to make everything cheap, whatever. And this is the MC5. We became friends with them. And they kind of, like, took us under their wing. They started this whole hippie commune. They started, like, this communist party and all this and that. And they even, like, have reached this point where they started the White Panthers, which was a group helping out the Black Panthers. He's like, it didn't last long. He says, like, this was those things, like, I didn't exactly, you know, help them out with it, but I didn't say nothing either. I was just kind of there.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. It sounds like it. Well, I'll check to see if it's on Amazon. That sounds pretty sweet.
So that's what we got for you, folks. We got Disney, Pokemon, Iggy Pop, Nazis.
Yeah, Brad Pitt and Nazis.
Yeah.
So, all kinds of good stuff here on Old Man Orange. So, and there's even more stuff, too. We're at that point where, like, people are just going to throw fucking movies at your face until you just can't. You're like, I don't want to watch movies anymore. Take me home. Because that's just
getting it.
That's literally what, like, the next, like, 6 weeks is. It's just, like, movie after movie. Like, each week, you know, most of the time there's, like, one good movie that comes out a week. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the point where, like, sometimes two or three good movies can come out in a week.
I saw, like, when we were over at the theater today, I looked at
that. It's, like, 9 out of 10 of them were, like, all, like, oh,
I wanted to see every movie except Trolls that was there.
Yeah, that's the 9 out of 10. Everything else looks good. It's, like,
it's, like, I heard Edge of 17 is a good movie. I heard that's good. I heard it's very John Hughes-ish.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's, like, rated R, so you know that they're probably taking it a little bit serious.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Arrival, I heard, was good.
Which one?
Arrival, I heard.
Yeah, I keep hearing really good things about that one. So that's another one that's been the hit. And then the Hacksaw Ridge is the main one I really want.
Hacksaw
Ridge. I keep saying that every single week, and I'm surprised it's still there. I keep thinking it's going to get knocked off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I got to go support Mel Gibson. God damn it. But, yeah, till then, I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Donegan.
And we will see you some other time.
Later, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Old Man Orange Podcast. Check out our website at oldmanorange.com for even more podcasts, cartoons, videos, music, and more. Send us an email at oldmanorangepodcast@yahoo.com. Be sure to subscribe, share, rate, and review us on iTunes, Podomatic, or any of the other fine sites we might be located on. And if you want to help out even more, click on the Amazon or GameStop links on our webpage before you make any purchases there. Won't cost you a penny, but it sends us a little something our way. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week to Old Man Orange.